Happy New Year, everyone, from those of us here at Techie Talk with State Representative Techie Chan of Quincy. Techie, happy 2025.
Yeah, happy 2025, the day after the first.
We have survived the holidays once again, and we're in a new year. And I know it was a crazy end of 2024 for the legislature.
Yes, this is not unusual. We've done this before. But what's a little unusual is we got actually done ahead of time. We closed the session officially by not continuing a future session about 1:30, 1 o'clock a.m. on December 31st, as opposed to going deep into the daylight hours of December 31st. So the state, or actually us, the legislature by state statute, have to come to session every 72 hours, where it's a formal or informal session. And since Monday, the next informal session could be on Thursday, and swearing in day is Wednesday, there was no need to actually announce another formal session because the session closes in the morning of January 1st when we're sworn in. So we actually got a lot done, as you have seen in the press. About 122 bills made it to the governor's desk at after midnight on December 31st, and the week before we had set up a short 16. So and there was a mad flurry of work done at the State House. And in case you're all wondering, a lot of stuff that I do requires, what I say, lead time. So we do memos, we have meetings with the speaker staff and Ways and Means. We talk to our co-sponsors around the House and Senate to get bills prepped to go that, should it hit the green light, we're ready to run. So it isn't like you just show up and ask for things. It's kind of this weird perception that you're an elected official, you can go down and demand stuff and they give it to you. You actually have to like lay the runway for this stuff. You actually have to write the memo. You have to talk to the various committees. You have to talk to other co-sponsors. It isn't just as simple as I demand this and I can have it. This is a real interesting perception people have, especially when I meet some newly electeds for the first time and realizing this isn't just I demand, you can get. It's really, it's a lot of groundwork and homework before you start the process. And it bore fruit. We were able to move bills out of the House and actually got some out of the Senate as well, because of all this work we done well in advance.
Yeah, I read, let's see, the wage transparency bill, the healthcare reform, the ballot question for app-based drivers, right? All that went through.
Well, the big one was the healthcare reform one, right? The one regarding greater accountability of hospitals, including for-profit private equity hospitals, and greater oversight regarding hospitals that have real estate investment trust funds. You may not realize this, but a lot of big commercial property is not owned by the person runs the business. So y'all know that Star Market, for example, in Quincy Center, many of us didn't realize that that's actually owned by the Grossman family, the land. Star Market does not own that land. They're a tenant. Stewart Hospital, the properties were largely owned by a real estate investment trust fund called Healthcare Realty. It's called Healthcare Realty. I have to look it up again. But regardless, that landlord owns the property. It's not actually owned by the hospital. And you'd be surprised. Strip malls, a lot of strip malls are owned by large real estate investment trust funds. Storage facilities also owned by large landlords. So the bill will also create some greater accountability and accounting of which hospitals do not actually own their own land. So th this is not going to solve all our problems regarding hospitals in one quick sweep, but it's going to require greater data, and also gives the various regulatory authorities stronger penalty abilities to go after hospitals that are showing some financial mismanagement.
Yes, right. What this is spawned by the Stewart healthcare crisis, right?
Yeah, none of us could foresee that it was done in this particular manner, how they were operating. And given the fact, particularly in the Boston area, we have so many large hospitals that are very important to patients, but also a big part of our economy. Stewart was unique in the sense it was a for-profit hospital. We talked about this before. But how they went about doing the business really kind of a cloak of darkness. And the lack of regulatory agencies to look at it. And in some ways, DPH was kind of very much caught flat-footed. Told us we had to expand powers to other healthcare-related agencies, such as CHEA and Healthcare Policy Commission, beyond just the DPH regulators, to include the other ones that are monitoring our healthcare costs. So, for example, that agency also does healthcare cost projections. We don't actually know what happens till it happens, right? I mean, let's not fool ourselves. I can sit here and project costs all day long. But, there are folks that do analysis on these things, provides different kind of projections so policymakers can have some guide or at least a range to look at of possibilities of what healthcare cost futures may look like, right? There's no way we can predict, to the dollar what your healthcare cost is, but we should have the ability to at least get a range and a general idea of what's happening through these regulatory agencies monitoring hospitals and medication and pharmacies and so forth about what costs may look like so policymakers can make some decisions about future regulation, any laws we may need to change. So we do that in this bill as well. We expand greatly the various healthcare oversight agencies to give us bigger and broader projections, which now includes private equity.
Yeah, that's very good. Any changes to the state tax laws in the new year, Techie?
Hang on. No, because a lot of the stuff went into effect last year.
Okay.
Because we did all the state law changes, the changes in the dependents. It's a multi-year phase in, so
Oh, right. Yes, yep.
part one of the childcare slash dependent child adult dependent deductible is phased into pieces, so you see the impact in 2024. You're going to see it again after when you file 25 taxes. So some of these things are 2 year increments breakups. Whether you notice it, I have no idea, but I know it's like you do half here, half there. I mean, some of the stuff in the HEROES Act goes into effect. In the tax year, most notable is the Gold Star annuity. I've been working on Gold Star annuities to double the Gold Star annuity credit for families, Gold Star families, for many years. And it's going to be phased in. It's going to double and be phased in over the course of 2 years starting in 2024. So there's some credits also in there for employers to hire veterans. That's going to be also implemented. So yeah, there are, now I think about it, there's some tax changes, but the big bulk of things like the estate tax change we made on exempting first $2 million from the estate, a lot of earning income tax credit stuff, a lot of those were voted on in the first half of the 2 year session. So they were implemented, implement it, I'm trying to find the right word. They're effective the tax year 2024, which is the year you just finished.
Right, exactly. Yeah, which when you file this coming April, that will already be into it, taken into account.
Yes, and you will see some more adjustments next year going up because, again, some of these issues are half and half. We phase one half in one calendar year, and it completes its phase in the second half of a new calendar year or
Right.
tax year. So you got that going on. So, and then, yeah, you notice. Well, I don't know. It depends on your circumstances. So if you don't have any of these situations, you don't have a dependent loved one or a child, you may not see the tax credit for that, right? If you don't have capital gains, short-term capital gains, you're not going to see the impact of that. So some of the stuff you may notice, some of the stuff you may have the benefit of and have no idea that it's actually changed as well because, well, it's not like you sit there and stare at your past tax returns and go, hey, I didn't realize this stuff.
Right. Yeah. Any change to the minimum wage now, 2025? I know that's a phased-in process, but I don't know if that changes at all this year.
I don't believe so. We cap out at, no, we don't. We capped out at $15.
Okay. All right. So that stays the same. I think there's some federal changes to that, I think, at the federal minimum.
I'm not sure what's going on in federal. I know that during the Biden administration, they mandate that contractors do $15 minimum wage. So when they do a
Right.
bid, a federal contracts require minimum wage for as part of bid. They're such a big vendor that it's hard for any contractor not to comply with their requests. As you're aware, during the presidential campaign, the media and advocacy groups have been trying to get both candidates to talk about minimum wage. Obviously, the Democrat Party have talked about increasing the federal minimum wage to $15, which is what we are at. Obviously, when Donald Trump was at a McDonald's photo op, I love these kind of stunt political things. I just look at the TV like, why? But
know.
he was kind of not really answering the question. So,
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
yeah, I'm doubtful that the Republican Congress would love to increase the minimum wage. They largely perceive this as a state-by-state issue, which is somewhat unfortunate because it doesn't set a baseline for states. So even though your state may not have $15 wage, at least there's a base uniformity, and particularly since the federal government hasn't changed the minimum wage in closing in 25 plus years.
Wow.
It clearly has not made the case for inflation, and it doesn't set a good baseline for states to move forward.
I know it's also this year the parts of the Affordable Housing Act take effect.
Hang on, I'm trying to remember which parts.
Well, notably the ADUs, the accessory dwelling units, that's the one I think is most interesting because it allows
Oh.
people to add to their property or build an outhouse type of thing or expand housing opportunities.
All right, at least you pointed out which piece because these bills are so big, Joe. I'm
Oh, I know, I'm sure.
trying
Yeah.
to do a recall here. Like, which part are you talking about? Yeah, I mean, what we did was we allowed ADUs, we allowed the authorization of ADUs for single tenants to do, and it is a sort of by right, but not sort of by right. So you have the
Yeah.
right to do it, provided that you actually meet all the other requirements, meaning you meet the setbacks, you meet the fire code, you meet the planning board requirement, you meet the various inspection requirements, construction requirements. So people have this like perception that an ADU is by right in the sense you can do whatever you want. You actually, yes and no.
Well, it's a different in every community, right?
That is correct. So for example, certain communities have larger setbacks than we do in Quincy. The lots are much bigger properties for individual homes because it's much more suburban community, right? Some places are like us in Boston where it's super dense. So for example, at my house, could we put the ADU in? Maybe, but it'd be a tight squeeze because I think I'm going to violate all the setbacks if I try to put anything that looks like a one bedroom. But other people, may have some more space than that. So it creates a. I'm trying to be careful here because it's really very much locally controlled. The ability for people to apply for ADUs.
Okay, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah, you cannot create a new zoning for ADUs, but you still have to require all the building and permitting like everything else. So, but if you can't meet the building permitting component, it's not going to matter anyway.
Right. It's going to be almost on a case-by-case basis, really.
It always has been,
Yeah.
and it's always going to be on a case-by-case basis. It should reduce the time. So one of the challenges of ADUs, not just in this city, but all through the state, is that local officials are dragged their feet, particularly if you get to the zoning board. And it becomes a whole like debate about it that just goes on forever. So this will at least expedite the yes or no answer,
Yeah, okay.
as opposed to waiting it out for like a 2 year wait. You could get an answer closer to less than half a year about whether your plans meet the requirements or not, because you're going to have to meet the construction requirements in the current zoning and building permitting requirements. So it's not like you can do it if you want.
Right.
So basically, you can get knocked out or accepted quicker.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's a step. Just it's another step.
Yeah, you don't have to go through this like creating a new zoning requirement or
Gotcha.
zoning exception.
So speaking of zoning, have you seen the latest plans for the Eastern Nazarene College property?
I got a copy of it sitting in my email box from the planning department. And I got a quick glance in the map and the letter, and I need to read it more thoroughly because on my phone it's hard to read a PDF map. I don't know exactly what it is yet because I'm still trying to figure it out because it was
Yeah.
reading phone in the chamber during swearing in day. And I was like, I can't read this right now. I can't figure this out.
Yeah, it's
But I mean, this is not surprising. I mean, most of us know it's zone residential A. You do have some open space properties regarding tennis courts and the ball field. I'm aware from my last conversation this month with the caretakers of ENC, the board trustees, caretakers, that it has in the process of being sold to a former ENC alumni. It's going to be a total purchase, is our understanding of all the properties, and some kind of zoning changes is not surprising. I think this new developer needs to have some return on investment, and what it's going to look like, I actually still don't know yet.
Okay. Do you know who the buyer is, Jackie? Can you identify that person?
Not.
No. How about a purchase price?
I don't have that either. This is kind
Okay.
of like don't jinx it kind of thing.
Okay. Interesting.
Other buyers have been looking to buy parts of the. I'll know this much. A lot of other buyers, well, not a lot, but there weren't that many buyers. Just, it's a not economy to buy large plots of land like this.
Right.
But I mean, other buyers only wanted parcels.
So this is a full purchase of it. What, 21 acres, I think it consists of.
Yeah, this would be including its, site in Old Colony and some other loose ends.
Oh, okay.
So this is actually more favorable to have a single purchaser, so the city and all of us can deal with one land owner. Folks that were interested in it were looking to subdivide, and
Yeah.
this is much better for everybody.
It's gonna be that's gonna be one of the major stories, I think, of 2025 is what happens with that property for sure.
Absolutely. The continuation of people being laid off finished really in December. There's a very small handful of people left that know how to do the maintenance and operations. The students of graduation set, it will be done. I think it's less than 14 people left. A segment of the master's program, all master's programs, there's no undergrad folks. So part segment of the master's program did finish in December. Another set will finish in May, and that's that.
That'll be it. Yeah. Well, stay tuned for that one for sure.
Yeah, the library lost its accreditation in December.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, which is very sad. And no longer part of the college network. So various accreditations for the school that's part makes it part of the national university system is just gradually expiring because they just don't renew, or it's being taken away because it's no longer a school.
Yeah. I know initially they had said they were going to try and establish some other kind of Nazarene educational program or facility, but I've heard nothing more about that.
No, it's very unlikely. The challenge up in the Northeast is that our birth rate is actually not good. I mean, in terms of the future of universities, of all the parts of the country, Northeast Corridor, meaning everything from like New Jersey to Maine, has an extraordinarily low birth rate. And universities can't survive if there's no kids. And if you're just depending on kids from other states or other countries, first world countries all have slow birth rates, same as the entire United States. And so, unfortunately, by like 2030, the ratio between eligible students go to college and college avail openings available is going to distort heavily on vacancy seats available versus students. At one time, it was the other way around. We had more students than schools. And schools really ran, I mean, simple supply and demand, right? They ran the market. But 2030 nationally, unless you're an Ivy League school, a state school, or some like mega school, right? A lot of the mid-size and smaller higher education institutions, no matter what you do, is in a severe threat of student decline to the point where you're no longer able to stay open. And we all know the high price of college tuition is actually astronomical. And it's gonna in smaller mid-sized schools, it's gonna shift the consumer power, for lack of a term, back to the students. And does this result in a change or decline in tuition? Well, it depends on the expenses of the school. I like to keep repeating myself, two economic models of never change is really hospitals and schools and universities, and they have the hardest time changing their economic models.
Yeah. Fortunately, here in Quincy, Quincy College seems to be a bit immune to that just because of its size.
It's a niche,
Yeah.
right? Right now, the niche works. Whether niche will work forever, that's not for me to say. But it's a small school, limited footprint, doesn't have a lot of assets, doesn't have real debt. It does have landlord-tenant agreements, but you're not dealing facing, massive capital costs associated with maintaining the school.
Right.
But it's subject to the same issues regarding everything else, right? Does it have an educational product that meets today's economies that people will pay for at the price they're offered? And they are one of the lowest cost two associate degrees you're going to find. And several years back, we passed a law to give Quincy College the ability to pursue certain degrees to be a bachelor's degree as well. So, it's challenging. I mean, I'm not going to pretend it's not. Do I think it's like end of the world? No, but future is hard to tell, and the economy keeps changing us. And if higher education doesn't change with the new economy, it's not going to be around.
Seems things are talking about education, new year now, and now the MCAS graduation requirement is gone, right?
Yeah, Department of Education is still trying to sort this one out on how they're going to implement this. There's still some time left. I mean, it's still about 5 months to graduation. But at some point, you're going to have to issue new regulations to all the cities and towns regarding a high school diploma requirement. It doesn't end the MCAS. MCAS tests will still happen.
Right. Yeah.
But it's not going to be the predominant factor regarding graduation of high school.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how that rolls out for sure.
Yeah, I'm curious myself. They've not been able to issue any guidance yet, but I suspect as we get into the month of January, there'll be some news articles coming out that are going to
Sure.
be more clarity.
Have you got your committee assignment, Decky?
No. No. We just got sworn in yesterday. The speaker correctly points out that if you've done a few of these, it's old hat because it's the same itinerary just every 2 years for new members, the 19 new House reps, the three new senators, congratulations, including Richard Wells from Milton next door to us. Congratulations, Representative Wells, you can call him that now. The newest part of the South Shore delegation. It was not a bad day despite the weather. It's happy families, right? It's as I tell people, every swimming day, the big thing is everyone brings their kids in, and I finally see people's kids for the first time and once a year. It was like with some of my colleagues, and you see a lot of bright new faces from all over the state, experiencing for many the House chamber for the very first time in any capacity.
Right. Yeah.
Most people have not visited the State House, which I again encourage everyone to visit the State House to tour the place. Many people who are elected have actually never been inside the building before.
Oh, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that.
So that's kind of like awe moment, so to speak, when you get there. Same thing as new senators. So, we got that part done. Now, committee assignments, people put various requests in to the speaker's office. Speaker needs to, doesn't need to, he can do what he wants, but the speaker generally will at least entertain a conversation with each member. So you can imagine there's 133, and is it 30? Let's see, 135 of us in the Democratic caucus. So, he's gonna try to slot out time somehow and give everyone a chance to pitch their case. I'm no different. Yeah, Ron is from Quincy, but I have to pitch too, folks. It's like, I magically get what I want. So I actually have to also make my own case to Ron about why I should get an assignment, not an assignment, and my thoughts about how the place runs. So I'm in the pool of everyone else looking for me.
Yeah, I know there are some key leadership positions still open, right?
Yeah, second leader position's open, floor leader's open. That presumes that nobody else leaves or moves. Just because the session starts, this new change cannot still happen. As you saw in Congress, right after elections, many Well, not many, but more than a few Republicans in the House were moving to the administration. And they just won re-election, and suddenly they're leaving their seats or left their seat, as a certain case may be, even before he was sworn in. So, it does happen. I Do I know who's staying or going? I do not. I just know I'm staying. But we shall see how it unfolds, because the committees can't be assigned until committee rules are made. The joint rules, actually. Joint rules dictate the joint committees. The House rules dictate the standing committees. And once those rules are formalized, or these parts of them are, if not the whole set of rules, even a part of it's formalized, then the House and Senate can form committees. So we don't have rules yet. But even before rules are formed, believe me, it's people are, in the queue talking to the speaker.
Oh,
But
sure. Yeah.
the Senate president has to deal with 35, well, there's really 34, but 34 odd senators she has to talk, which is a much lower bar of people you have to deal with the speaker.
Yeah. Do you want to keep your current chairmanship?
Yeah, I like what I do. I do. There are some other opportunities out there. I'm just not sure what they're going to be doing with different moving parts. I have some thoughts here and there, but I'll share that with the speaker once I get a little closer to my appointment.
Sure. Okay. Since last we talked, Jackie, well, man, a lot has happened, but the passing of President Jimmy Carter.
I'm a little bit young to remember Jimmy Carter in his heyday. I was alive, but I was far too young. Most of my presidential recollections were childhood during the Reagan era. So he, you know, when you go to when you if you remember your social studies or history classes from elementary and high school, Jimmy Carter is not exactly the president people give a whole lot of high marks to,
It's true. Yeah,
which is
it's too bad actually, because of all his humanitarian efforts kind of got overshadowed by politics.
He represented a change in politics. For context, this was right after Watergate. Ford made that controversial decision to pardon Nixon prior to actually indictment, and he had a fractured country. And Carter came into a bad domestic situation where mistrust in government was enormous, higher than what you believe now. I mean, when you have a sitting president who was spying on opposition party, got caught in recordings stating what he was doing criminally, and was like red-handed. There was no evidential question marks. And in case you're wondering back then, because I was listening to a podcast about the Nixon congressional investigations, it was as partisan as you see today. It wasn't this bipartisan a situation where both parties were like, oh yeah, he did it. No, it was just no different from a partnership than you see now. So don't get this like misconception that during the Reagan,
Oh yeah.
Nixon, right, that it was like, ooh, they came together. No, they did.
No,
It was
and he initially denied it.
correct. It's the same stupid stuff you see now. It was also the same stupid stuff you saw then.
That's right.
So the public, was watching this like complete partisan bickering about a president who was denying with recording, saying he did something wrong.
Right. At the same time, they're playing the recording.
And it was probably the best journalism we've seen, in 20 years, the Watergate, at the Post. So, Jimmy Carter inherited a very divided nation, and he was a brush of something different. But I'm not sure the country really wanted or understood or appreciated the difference that they got. And you had hyperinflation, you had the OPEC crisis. You're right out of the opening of relations with China, so he had to manage that. He had
Iranian hostage crisis also.
right,
Yep.
and wasn't Munich in that same time period?
I think that was
Before.
before.
That was before.
Yeah.
So yeah, he had a lot of strikes, the strife in the Middle East. There was a lot of strife going on. So you had a lot of domestic issues, and you had a lot of international issues going on at the same time, where you're managing a new foreign affairs relationship with China. Russia is still out there. The Soviet Union is still trying to retain its position on the toehold without Chinese backing. You have the Middle East situation, which we could talk ad nauseum about because this is not a new issue, but you still have that problem. And then you have a bigger problem at home regarding the fact that you have a highest mistrust in government. And people can't pay for the price of eggs, right?
Right.
We're in that boat too, although we're not lining up the gas tanks, gas stations, hoping to still gas in the gas
That's
tanks.
right. That's right. But it's similar situation.
Yeah, and as we all know, in politics, the economy will take you down long before four.
For sure. Yep, that's as Bill Clinton learned.
Bill Clinton, yeah, Bill Clinton took out George H. Bush, right?
Yes.
So, but the thing is, they always tie the Iranian hostage crisis to the final downfall to Jimmy Carter's presidency. It really isn't the final issue. It's a long series of issues that accumulated with the last one you're going to remember.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, I'm not blaming him or blaming anyone. It's just the way it's just the way the cards are dealt to you. In politics, you don't have a lot of control of what life throws at you, trust me. And you try your best to manage what was thrown at you. And he also was a non-DC guy. He was a governor. He's a veteran. He made a small peanut farm profitable, a lot of hard work. And what you see is what you got. There was no weird, like, personal family scandals, Carter.
Oh no, that's true. Yeah. So yeah, I just thought it was worth mentioning. John was the oldest living president.
I'm one of those guys who know more about his presidency after the presidency than in the presidency.
Well, because you're a student of history, so it makes sense. He was the first president that I was old enough to vote for when he ran a second time.
Oh, really? Okay, so yeah, you're still ahead of me by a couple of years.
Yes, I've got you.
I think Reagan beat Carter everywhere but Minnesota and Massachusetts.
That sounds right. That
It
sounds right. Yeah.
was like, it was bad. It was one of the big. It could also beat Mondale. I think Mondale only won was Massachusetts. I got to look at those maps now, because Reagan pretty much holds records for landslides.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Just complete landslides. And Jimmy Carter actually is the last president to win the Deep South as a Democrat.
Interesting. Yeah.
Last Democrat to win the Deep South, including Texas.
Wow. That's saying something. That's an accomplishment, really.
Yeah, and he wasn't exactly an old Democrat, no so-called Dixie Democrats. It was the Democrats of the Civil War. This is a it's not exactly conservative Democrat you think today of the old 40s and 50s. He was a new Democrat, much more progressive, much more open-minded, much more into civil rights, much more into human rights than other Democrats of his type in the Deep South. And that's kind of interesting because people kind of forget that Jimmy Carter was not at the time. I remember it's all contextual at the time of, not today, at the time. He was more moving forward on a modern looking Democrat in a place that doesn't look like that.
Yes. Oh, sure. Yeah. No, today he looks like a complete conservative compared to the progressives today. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. But back then, he was definitely looking to, he's the end of that kind of Democrat of the Deep South that could hold the Deep South.
Yeah.
But he was no longer, he was no, he would, but he's not like a Democrat that was like the Dixie Democrats. He was a new Democrat that you think of today. But you're right, today he'd be a wicked conservative Democrat.
Yes.
Back then, he was much more liberal.
Yeah. Speaking of history, now that we're in the new year, Quincy is 400 years old as a settlement.
Yeah, I actually do not know the exact settlement date. Something for me else to look up at some point.
Yeah. I want to say it's in June sometime.
Yeah, well, wait for word. The local community is responsible for their own celebrations. So this is the 250th anniversary of the revolution. Lexington will hold a big celebration.
Yes, the shot heard around the world, right? Yeah.
Yep. And the 400th anniversary of many state establishments, community establishments. So those who know your history knows that the Commonwealth of Massachusetts got their charter from the British at Bay Colonies with Governor Winthrop in 1630. But the Pilgrims' official settlement here was considered the first settlement, but the Pilgrims were here in 1620. We had this like 10-year span we're in. where you have colonists coming in to live here without an official charter from the crown, the British crown. So Quincy is one of those settlements among actually many others in the state that are celebrating the 400th.
Yes, yeah. Plymouth, of course, was the first in 1620, but that got overshadowed by COVID, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, sadly, a lot of state money, private donors, and local tax money went into years of planning for that. It's something that's actually never been reported properly. Plymouth lost their ability to celebrate because of COVID, as well as every community up to 2023, essentially,
Exactly.
were unable to hold a proper celebration. It's nobody's fault, right? This isn't your fault, my fault. This is the way the world works. We were talking about earlier. In this life, unexpected things happen, and you just gotta figure out how to manage the situation or do your best to do what you can with it. But yeah, so what do you think of Thanksgiving? I mean, they have that big parade, I guess.
That's true.
But I have no clue what we're doing for a 400th anniversary down here. Obviously, the city has had a very long history of not just the presidents. Adams, but also its role as part of the larger British colonies, part of the master trade structure of the British colonies, quite a bit, an important part of the economy after the colonial era into the industrial era. We're actually a very rich and diverse city. It's always been a very rich and diverse city, a big part of the
Yep.
foundation of the Massachusetts economy in different decades.
Yeah, I'll be speaking with the mayor tomorrow about what's going on for Quincy 400, so I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, let's see how they do that. I mean, it's 400 years of history, but there's been a lot of change in that 400 years. And the most recent folks growing up today is part of that 400 years. So we'll see how they would like to tell their story into the entirety of change. And this city has always been a city of immigrants, always has been. And be curious how the city wants to talk about that transition.
Yeah. Of course, then in 2026, the nation will celebrate its 250th.
1776.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember. I think I saw some like number of coins from I don't know where I got them, like 50 years ago, from the 200th anniversary.
Oh, from 1976.
Yeah, I think I
Yep.
have what do you call it, silver dollars,
Oh, sure. Yes.
silver dollars. I think I have some lying around in my
Yes,
bedroom.
the bicentennial solar dolls. Yes, I remember those. Yep.
And somewhere, I hope the reserve, the treasury decides to mint another set of those.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, or maybe since we don't really use, no one uses silver dollars anyway, but I mean, it's legit currency. It's just people are going to carry $40 in
Yeah,
coins.
no, right. It's like the $2 bill.
Yeah, it's legal currency that's more of a novelty piece at home because it's cool.
Right.
Well, we'll see if the. I'm actually, I know I'm switching gears a little bit, but I actually would like to see if the US Treasury decides to issue a 250th coin again, or maybe a 250th quarter. I don't know, something.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see for sure.
I wouldn't mind that to go with my other set.
complete the collection.
Well, I won't be here in 50 years. My odds aren't that good.
Likewise, I always say I've been here longer than I'm going to be, so. How were your holidays, by the way?
It was quick. We did Christmas dinner at my house, much smaller group. So I cooked 2 days for that as opposed to 3 days for Thanksgiving. So I was kind of exhausted. I got my car oil changed. It was on to do this. I forgot all about it until the 26th and realized I didn't have my oil change yet. Just been trying to get a lot of the little things done. But I'm kind of behind, actually. I didn't get all my chores done, so to speak, before the start of a session. And it's just because the calendar, again, we talk all the time, the calendar is set up and where Christmas and New Year were too close. And it affects everything.
Yeah, it was a week. We lost a week, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, and I try to get a lot of my personal life stuff done before a session starts in the gap period. So it's, I've always had a December scramble, so to speak, just getting all these little things. Like, have a central water filter, right? Got to get it done, right? So this stuff became like, accumulation of stuff. So yeah, no, it was very quick. A lot of my friends in sales said the same thing. The holiday was over in a blink. And I still got some chores left. I gotta try to get done this month.
Do you do New Year's resolutions, Jackie?
Oh
Okay.
no. No. I find that if I try to set those kind of expectations, it doesn't really create positive results in my mind.
Gotcha.
I think it's more just trying to work towards a better day. As I like to say, it's not about living for today, it's about trying to live tomorrow. So,
Okay.
besides, this Chinese New Year on the 29th of January. So,
Oh, right. Yes, the year of the snake this year, right?
yeah, so some of those you folks who want to have a resolution and it goes sideways in the next 29 days is another shot for a new year. I'm just
Oh,
saying.
there you go. You get 2 new years to try it.
Try it twice.
So, yeah, I know Quarry will be having of course, their big celebration again this year.
Yeah, I believe it's like February 16th.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah, generally, a lot of celebrations don't, big celebrations don't happen in the first 2 weeks of Chinese New Year. It's the first couple of days is family days, and then after that, a lot of the schools will hold their local celebrations depending on where you are. But you get like some, government run around the world. You see the big Chinese celebrations run by the governments. But the for this country, a lot of nonprofits would generally wait about 7 to 14 days before they run their local events.
Sure. Yep. Yep.
Also scheduling for availability and things like that. So
Yeah.
part of it is the fact that the high school is available on that Sunday.
True. Yeah, that's true too. North Quincy High. It's a great venue for them for sure. Yep.
Yeah, you have to check the, you actually we have been doing this long enough. We actually check their athletic schedule. Depending on what the basketball volleyball is doing, determines what day we get.
Sure. Anything coming up at the district? Let's see. I'm trying to think what happens, and well, Chili Fest probably is coming up soon.
Yeah, I've not got my Housenik bulletin yet. So I generally find out through the Housenik bulletin.
Yep.
Because of the calendar again, everything's been thrown off when you're getting your notice. MLK Day is coming up on the 20th, which actually
Yes.
coincides with the presidential inaugural.
That's
Interesting.
right.
Very, again, these weird calendar sequential issues that come up in the same time.
Yes, the former Boston Police Commissioner is the keynote speaker here in Quincy this year.
Oh, is he?
Yes, Bill Gross. Yeah.
Okay, I have no idea. Because I've not received my invitation, as you can tell. Yeah, I actually met Bill LaGrasse at a wedding.
Oh.
Yeah, it was actually an interesting conversation. He's actually another self-made guy. He was talking about how he grew up and what led him to going to law enforcement. And yeah, he is literally a self-made guy to get where he got to, and a lot of work involved in
Yeah,
terms.
so that'll be an interesting speech.
Yeah, very fascinating guy. Was not working with a whole lot as a child, and a lot of grit and determination to make something happen and to become a police chief of Boston. But just even trying to get to working law enforcement as a young person, I mean, it was a long road to get there.
Yeah. Let's see, January 20th, 9 a.m. at the Terrellum for folks who are interested. It's free.
Oh, the Elks. Okay. Again, as you can tell, like it's okay, it works for me. I mean, it's been at the high school many times, but
Yes, that's true.
yeah, okay. Like
I got you covered, Jackie. Anything you want to know about Quincy, just ask.
yeah, no, it's good when you update me on events. It helps me out actually.
It's what I'm here for. I don't know if we want to talk about the terrorist attack in New Orleans today or not. It's kind of still unfolding.
It's pretty horrific. Unfortunately, you may have remember seeing a violent attack in Germany at a Christmas festival. It's the second that's happened in Germany. In Germany, these Christmas shop festivals are a big part of their culture. That is not determined to be part of a larger terrorist attack thus far. Those who woke up yesterday morning. We are breaking news: New Orleans, individual who drove his a rented Toro vehicle. Toro is an app that lets you rent a vehicle from another private individual. Appeared, you know, didn't appear, just drove through and was shot, was killed when he exchanged gunfire with local police. You've probably seen there's a failure in security regarding allowing a vehicle for that type to actually enter the area without any difficulty. And the scariest part of that story is the fact they found basically bombs planted all over the place as well, which indicates likely that he was not alone in
Right.
doing it. He is not an immigrant. He is not a person from outside the country. He is a US-born citizen, ex-military from Texas. We have this unfortunate misconception now that every time something just happens, it's some kind of foreign-born person. I always remind folks, Oklahoma bombing, that's what they thought back then too. They played.
That's right. Yeah.
They was a homebred terrorist. And there's more than people realize on that front, sadly. It coincides the same day we had a Tesla Cybertruck detonate with the driver inside, the Trump Hotel in Vegas. Elon Musk and Trump's been very careful about how to talk about that one as well, given the fact involved both of their properties. As we wait for that to unfold on that story too, and this greater heightened awareness around the country already, especially including, I guess, at the State House yesterday, with security, a lot of plainclothes police officers were everywhere around the building and outside the building. So, after a January 6th rebellion to riot, whatever you want to call it, State House around the country has already had heightened. So this is another one of those things that we'll see what we find out, but I'm going to suspect that it's going to be getting more frightening as law enforcement digs deeper into finding the co-conspirators. And we all know the FBI and all state and local law enforcement are able to get to a lot of these things before they happen. However, we're imperfect people, and unfortunately, some will sometimes a few will get through, and unfortunately, it comes with immensely deadly results.
Right. Yeah, it was brought up obviously around here, the Marathon bombings of 2013, some similarities to that too. So Boston certainly not immune.
No, absolutely not. And last year, had two police officers killed, I believe, in Times Square, New York, during their New Year celebration. They had also increased their security. They clearly was targeting police officers at that time. And it's a really bad way to start the year, obviously, but it reminds us that it's there are people out there that want to hurt us, and sometimes they. Folks that live here, live among us.
Absolutely. Well, it's the last one of the first week of the new year, Jackie.
It is. Well, we'll see how things unfold. We'll see how things unfold. But rest assured, I mean, there's. You also do see stories that doesn't get the same amount of attention, where the FBI and local law enforcement, stop terror rings before they actually execute their plan too. So again, where I think law enforcement at all levels and their intelligence agency will do really great work. We just don't hear about the great work because they prevent things from happening. And unfortunately, when it does happen, it is catastrophic.
Yeah, it's the greatest stories that were never told, right?
No, I agree. I agree.
So for the time being, anyway, we can still reach you at your old contact address.
Yeah, we're still at the office at 617-722-2370. 617-722-2370, in room 42 of the State House. We are open for business. TACKEY dot CHAN at MAHouse dot GOV. TACKEY dot CHAN at MAHouse dot GOV is the email. We will actually start getting more emails as we in the new year bill filing. We are still at MA Legislature dot GOV, MA Legislature MA Legislature.gov is the website. You can actually watch our informal sessions that were recorded this week to see what's going on. We have the State Representative Tacky Chan Facebook that you can see my coming and goings. You see some pictures of me on swearing in day, which should be up shortly. And then we have Tacky Chan at ORG, which is our informational website. And of course, we're here with Joe with a new year, starting our getting ready to do our fifth year together, I think.
Yes, that's right. We started in the spring of 2020, right when the pandemic hit.
Yeah, so we're getting ready for our fifth year together, and I'd be remiss to say that this is the month I came in to work for Mike Bilotti as an intern. 30 years ago, folks, I came in as an intern.
You
It's
were just 10.
yeah, I was a very young child at the
That's
time,
right.
and it's one of those moments in life where it just dawned on me like in December. I'm like, oh yeah, that's wow, it's been a while. So, and you may have seen the news. I've had the privilege of nominating Ron Mariano as leader of the caucus and to be our speaker of the House. So that was a real privilege, and I thank Ron for asking me to do that. Something sp it's very special. It's very special to be able to do that. So no, thank you, Ron, for asking me to do that for you in the caucus yesterday.
Very nice.
But yeah, no, it's. I've been doing this a little longer than people give me credit for, even though I have not been elected my whole life. I've been in politics, working politics, for a very long
But you don't look it.
time.
Thanks
I'll get there eventually, Joe.
a lot, Jackie.
Thank you, Joe.